This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Here we go. Story here from the New York Post. Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show has sparked more than 100 complaints to the FCC. The rapper took the stage, obviously, during the Chiefs' loss to the Eagles.
Why?
During his 15-minute performance, the 22-time Grammy winner performed Not Like Us, his infamous diss track aimed at fellow rapper Drake. 6 weeks after the chart-topping gig, outraged viewers submitted 125 FCC complaints. At least 10 of the complaints were about Lamar's direct aim at Drake.
So we had some Drake fans who were offended.
We're going to contact the FCC because I'm a fan of one rapper and not the rapper dissing that rapper.
Correct.
Got it.
Another person complained about some of the dance moves displayed during the performance, noting that they saw several apparent anti-American themes.
You're dancing in an un-American fashion.
Weren't the costumes red, white, and blue?
They were.
Thank you.
They weren't square dancing.
Oh. Others complained that only black performers and dancers were on the stage.
I hope they out those people that called. Is that a public record?
I would guess.
Good God.
I don't think it's a public record, but they do have to keep record of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going off years old memory here, they have to, they're required to investigate every single complaint. Now, they don't have to find, obviously, in favor of the complainant, but they have to investigate every single complaint.
I believe that is still true, and he was very good about not using any of the curse words that normally appear in his songs, even bleeping out a particular word that he calls Drake in the diss track because they were worried about being sued.
Okay.
That really? Word starts with a P and ends with
there are so many people in America that need a hobby and something to do. And a
life.
Lot of them live here. I'm going to be honest.
And a life.
Go find something to do. Really quick, note of just caution. Because it is spring, the trees are budding, the parks are packed. And I told you we went to that Sarco Pars Trails Park like a week ago and walked around that little pond. It was very nice.
Drove by it last night.
Lenexa police put out a warning that I got in my email this morning that someone went to go walk at the park and left their wallet in the car. And thieves do what thieves do. They are now trolling the parks knowing that you are going running in the parks. Hmm. So if you are going to a park and you cannot leave your wallet at home, take it with you.
Why can't you leave your wallet
walk
at home?
Well, some people are like, I need to have my driver's license. You know, I don't know.
Well,
don't,
you do.
I would not even leave it in your console because the photo that they posted in Lenexa, someone just smashed through the car. There's glass everywhere. They took the wallet, which says to me it's a man, and then they went and on a little shopping spree, and there's photos of the women that are stealing things with this credit card wearing masks like we're back in COVID times.
The biggest thing you shouldn't do, and I'm a big offender of this when I go to the gym, is leave it in the cup holder.
Oh, it's terrible, Sam.
Out in plain view.
Gyms and parks. And Lenexa Police said, look, if you think the parks are nice for you right now, the thieves know that. Okay. And then that gets us into the next story from Fox 4, where at least two police departments are investigating reports of criminals stealing purses right outside of stores. So these are women who go in with their purse and then come out and someone is waiting.
They snatch it.
And they snatch the purse. I have gone to the cell phone wallet combo. So it is always just in my back pocket. You ain't taking my purse because I ain't carrying one.
That way, if they steal your wallet, you can't call for help.
Oh, I never thought about it that way, Sam. Thank you. Thank you for adding to my already anxious soul.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you out. Make you feel better about
one
daily
of the women,
life.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. One of the women was robbed right outside of a grocery store. She went to open her driver's door with her purse in her hand when a man went for her bag. And, oh, by the way, he had a knife. She's out $500. Just have your head on a swivel, people.
Okay. We do not talk politics, but this does have a little bit of politics in it. Ugh. But this woman is out of line and deserves a censure. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who seemingly made fun of Texas Governor Greg Abbott, is now claiming that her comments referring to him as Governor Hot Wheels while speaking in Los Angeles on Saturday were not about his disability, but rather his terrible policies.
Is he in a wheelchair?
Has been for 41 years.
Got it.
Crockett added that the outrage was another distraction going on to highlight Governor Abbott's policy, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? She did refer to him as Governor Hot Wheels in a speech. He was sworn in as governor of Texas in 2015, was paralyzed in 1984 after a tree fell on him while he was running and damaged his spinal cord.
Oh, God.
Wasn't her defense that she wasn't referencing
a tree fell on him while he was running?
Yeah, while he was
jogging. My God.
Yeah, he's been in a wheelchair for 41 years. And she called him Governor Hot Wheels. Come on.
And she said it had nothing to do with the fact that he's wheelchair bound.
It had everything to do with his policies. Nobody's buying. You know, in this political age, and this goes for both sides, and this is the last political thing I'm going to say. Can we please just start, and this goes with everything that you saw on TV earlier today, and Governor Hot Wheels. Can you just admit that you made a mistake, own it, and move on?
Like, I shouldn't have said it or texted it.
It was inappropriate.
Right.
I'm sorry. Is everybody in political life a narcissist?
Yes.
And they're incapable of admitting a mistake?
Yes.
Yes. That is a surefire yes.
Jeez.
We have a measles case confirmed in a person who traveled to D.C. via Amtrak train.
Yep.
Good God. The person visited multiple locations while contagious, including the southbound Amtrak Northeast Regional 175 train in Union Station on March 19th, as well as an urgent care. So at least they were trying to get help. DC Health says it's currently working to inform people who were at these locations that they may have been exposed. Health officials are specifying that people who are, quote, not immune are most at risk for infection. Those include those of you who are unvaccinated. We will leave that story right there.
And
why would you hop on a train when you have the measles?
The number of measles cases in Kansas have jumped to 23.
Wow, that was a quick jump. It was at 6 last
week.
It's
the most contagious disease out there, I think, next to Ebola.
And they are considering it an outbreak. And this is mostly in southwest Kansas.
All right. Well, please don't hop on a train and come here.
Texas is now up to, I think, 374, if I'm not mistaken, the number I saw this morning.
Yeah, measles is transmitted very easily and very rapidly.
And lastly, a woman and her friends traveled to Texas to celebrate before she got married. It was a bachelorette party. The trip was brought to a grinding halt when she was violently assaulted. 27-year-old Canada Rinaldi is now hoping to recover in time for her wedding after she was assaulted on her bachelorette trip.
Oh, God.
I just didn't deserve it, said Rinaldi. Nobody does, but I didn't either. She has a huge gash on her forehead, scrapes and cuts on her face. The Oklahoma bride-to-be said that she and her bridesmaids were leaving a club in Dallas when a random man ran up and just punched her straight in the face.
Oh, my God.
Said Rinaldi, it's just shocking. It's just hard to believe. It feels like a lot of my experiences were taken away from me. She was hit so hard, She was knocked unconscious and face-planted into the sidewalk. She broke her nose, three teeth, and needed eight stitches on her forehead.
Oh, God. Did they catch the guy again?
No, they did not catch him. The wedding, by the way, is in 4 weeks.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, she said later on.
You don't ever need to have the discussion about emergent dental care before your big day.
She said later on in that story that she feels like she doesn't even want to get married.
Oh, bless her.
That's too bad
after that situation.
Well, I mean, he's still the man of your dreams, right? Just push it back. It's not his fault.
I think, yeah, just push it back.
Wait till you recover and then get married.
You don't want to get married all bandaged up. Oh, that is so sad.
Teeth missing. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Got no place to go. Love me some gin blossoms. You want me to keep singing? I can.
No, we're good. We're good.
I tell you the other day. My person, he gets me. Let me tell you, he gets me. I was talking about Cardigan being one of my favorite songs. I go, you've heard Cardigan. I sing it all the time. And he, without missing a beat, he goes, I've never heard Taylor Swift sing it.
Nice.
Nice.
Excellent.
The age-old joke. Hey, who sings that song?
Yeah.
Let him do it.
Okay. So, hoy, this next story out of Ottawa.
Been there.
The first sentence just, it will ruffle your feathers as it ruffled mine. I almost guarantee it. Parents in Ottawa have been urged to help their students understand acceptable behaviors after a toy gun was found in the backpack of an elementary school student who made concerning comments. The Ottawa, Kansas Police Department says around 8:20 a.m. yesterday, emergency crews were called to Lincoln Elementary School with reports of concerning comments made by a student. Investigators noted that a school resource officer contacted the student in question and a plastic toy gun was found in their backpack. Now, the gun was orange in color.
So clearly a toy.
This was not one of those, because today there are guns that are real that look fake and there are guns that are fake that look real. You know, what's an SRO to do? It's hard to tell from a distance.
Sure.
This was an orange toy looking gun, apparently.
I bet when it would be like, it would shoot little styrofoam balls out of it.
Nerf
balls, yeah.
God, I used to love Nerf. Law enforcement officials noted that the staff followed protocol. Police department says there is no ongoing threat. But parents have been asked to ensure that students understand, like, what is acceptable behavior at school, what is not. It's not the plastic gun that he brought to school. It was that it came along with concerning comments that this student made. We don't know how old this student was. No. Could be as young as 5, could be as old as, 12, Scott?
10, 11, yeah.
Now we
you can't take this to chance anymore. Like, we've seen the actual gun in the backpack, Olathe. They have
Shawnee
to respond
Mission
this way.
South.
Was another one. Scott, that was another one.
Yesterday.
We used to bring Nerf guns to school when I was in grade school. And granted, we never made any comments about, like, I'm going to shoot you. And we got in trouble, but that was because the teachers didn't appreciate the Nerf darts flying by them and hitting the whiteboard.
Right.
But
right.
We live in a different era now. And I was in grade school, obviously, post-Columbine.
Sam, Dana and I are old enough that we remember when kids would have shotgun racks in the back window of their truck.
Well, in some places,
slingshots,
they still do.
All that stuff.
I mean, that was not unheard of. You just couldn't bring the shotgun into the school. That was the policy.
Well, I hope the kid gets help. I don't know what you do in a situation like that. Intervene, of course.
Yeah. What were they saying?
It doesn't go into that.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into that.
A Shawnee Mission South High School student will spend time behind bars after admitting to bringing a gun to school in December. The student, who was 15 years old at the time of the offense, was charged with firearm possession by a felon, juvenile in possession of a firearm, and interference with a law enforcement officer, according to the Johnson County DA's office. The school went on lockdown on Monday, December 9th, after another student reported to administrators they saw the teen showing off a gun in his waistband. Shawnee Mission South. Administrators confronted the student, who initially refused to leave the classroom. Overland Park police arrived, of course. They restrained the student and took him into custody. By the way, before the incident at school, the teenager was already on probation and in juvenile court.
Okay.
Something tells me he is now going to high school right over here down the street.
It's not typically the stand-up student that is the one bringing the gun to school.
Now a great story. A ceremony usually reserved for Kansas City police officers and civilian staff, a man with no connection to the department was nevertheless honored for saving an officer's life this week. It has been almost 6 months since a motorcycle officer was nearly killed when a car hit him and threw him off of his police bike. Several bystanders rushed to his aid, all helping in their own way. But Tony Carey had the quick thinking to do what many wouldn't consider. He says, quote, "I'm just another human out here trying to help somebody who was down, and I hope someone would do the same for me." He was working on 72nd and Troost Avenue when he heard a loud boom. A coworker yelled out the window, "There's been a wreck." He ran outside. He said, quote, "You just start rushing. I didn't even really think about it until the very end." A Toyota had collided with the motorcycle. Carey says he watches crime dramas on TV and thought, "I need to look for the officer's two-way radio." He found it and started pressing buttons. "And then I realized," he says, "the lady's car was still running next to me and leaking all of the fluids out. So I ran over, put her car in park, shut her car off, ran back over, kept pressing more buttons, finally got the right one. It triggered and assist the officer alarm. Everyone came to help. And he was given a certificate of appreciation last night." Isn't that great?
Good
Chief Stacy Grave was there. Apparently the award came on his birthday, too. So happy birthday.
For the millions of Americans who retire each year, stopping work might seem like a well-deserved break, but it can also precipitate big changes in brain health, including an increased risk of cognitive decline and even depression. This is for retiring. Before retiring, you're up, getting up in the morning, socializing with coworkers,
yes,
dealing with the mental challenges of your job, according to Ross Andel, a professor at Arizona State who studies cognitive aging and retirement. All of a sudden, after 50 years, you lose that routine. There's this idea that the body can and brain can adapt when they're no longer needed. That's when you see the brain deteriorate and its natural response to inactivity. They studied 8,000 retirees in Europe.
Wow.
And found that people's verbal memory, the ability to recall a set of words after a certain amount of time, declined faster once they retired compared to when they were working. Another survey conducted in England showed a steep decline in verbal memory after retirement. And you hear people say all the time, "I'm never going to retire.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do with myself."
If you don't use it,
You'll lose it. That's
and
right.
There are a number of cases out there, personally and ones that I've read about, where maybe they had mild signs of memory loss prior to retirement, and man, was it a slippery slope after they were no longer occupied 8 hours a day.
You know, did we used to think growing up, Scott, that if you saw an older person in bagging groceries or, you know, I remember my mom once saw an executive that she worked for once, a very, very powerful C-suite executive. Mm-hmm. And he was stocking shelves. I remember she said, "My gosh, do you think he needs money? Like, he was at the grocery store.
He needs something to do.
He needs something to do."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that keeps his brain active.
And by the way, there's no one better at the hardware store than the retired 70-year-old.
They're
dude.
The best.
They are the best.
Yes. That's why older people will be greeters at Walmart. They just, it's not, well, maybe for some of them, they need the money. But for many of them, they just need somewhere to go.
Something to do, people to talk to.
Other than sitting at home watching cable news like Scott Parks all day.
You're doomed.
913-586-7798. Don't forget, every Friday at 5 o'clock, we do Festivus Friday. That is brought to you by Q39, the airing of the grievances. So if you listen at any great length, you may have heard Dana and me doing some commercials for Jersey Mike's and Braden's Hope. This is their day of giving. It's a wonderful opportunity If you'd love some great food and give back to the community, go to any Jersey Mike's. All the proceeds today, I think there are five locations, Olathe, there's one in Shawnee, and the money goes to Braden's Hope, which is a local charity here in town. Braden's mom is joining us on the KMZ hotline, Delise Hofen. Delise, it's good to talk to you again. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you're going to laugh, Delise. I was on my way to a work meeting at Panera, and on my way, I stopped at Jersey Mike's because today's the day everyone's got to go to Jersey Mike's because it's so cool what they do for research. And please remind everyone, you guys really are in a great collaboration with, I believe, Mercy, and is it the University of Kansas Health Center?
We are, exactly. And first of all, thank you for stopping at Jersey Mike's. It's making a difference. We're doing really well so far.
Good, good, good.
So we work with Children's Mercy Hospital and KU Cancer Center to fund research trials or research studies here locally. And then we're also going to be working with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for some research studies as well this next year. So we're excited about our partners that we have.
Delise, are you making sandwiches today?
I am not making sandwiches. I told Dana just a minute ago I was sweeping the floor, though. So
she was sweeping the floor.
I'm not relegated up yet. I've not earned the spot.
Well, you, Delise, for those who have not had the pleasure of hearing your story, it is so impactful. Kind of remind everyone why you started Braden's Hope with your journey as a cancer survivor as well as your son's.
Sure, absolutely. So Braden was 3 when he was diagnosed with a form of cancer called neuroblastoma, and it's a particularly lethal kind of childhood cancer, and it had about a 30% chance for survival at diagnosis, and got through about a year and a half of treatment, and thought we had it beat, but it came right back. And when it comes back with the words no known cure, and his odds fell less than 10% chance for survival. So we were searching, trying to find something for him. In the meantime, I found a lump in my breast, and I got diagnosed with breast cancer at the same time, 3 months after his relapse. And there were all sorts of treatments available for me, and there was no known cure for Braden. And so I started researching to figure out why that discrepancy existed. And that's when I found out how overlooked and underfunded childhood cancers were. And my friends all said, hey, we should do something. And I was like, yeah, somebody should be doing something. And they were like, no, we should do something because we are somebody. So we started Braden's Hope to try to level that playing field so that children wouldn't hear the words no known cure at their diagnosis.
It's one of the most shocking things I think people hear, and they're like, wait, what? And they almost, it goes against everything you would think or you would believe in medicine, that like 1 or 2 pennies on the dollar go toward pediatric cancer research. 1 or 2 pennies on the dollar. It is insane that that is the reality, and I still don't understand why.
It really is insane. So literally 4%, about 4% of the National Institute of Health budget for cancer research goes to all childhood cancers combined. About 12% goes to breast cancer. I'm super grateful. That's why I'm here. But 4% for all childhood cancers combined, and it's just not okay. I think one of the main reasons is there aren't as many children that get cancer as there are adults. Even though it's the number one killer by disease among children, there are still fewer children that get cancer than adults. And so only 6 drugs have been developed for our kids for cancer treatments that are new to them since 1980, hundreds for adults in the meantime. So our kids are getting, 50, 60, 70-year-old chemotherapy drugs that are gold standard for the treatments. And it's just not okay.
Delise, I don't expect you to be a doctor or answer this as one, but what is the difference between cancers that we adults might get and cancers that children get?
Well, it's actually a really good question. So there are differences, even though, like, let's take medulloblastoma, that's a type of brain tumor. Even though it's the same name, the pathology and the histology of that cancer is different for children than it is for adults. So all we have to treat those kids with is what we're doing in the adult world right now. And so our kids just inherit that. Well, it's not the same thing as it is for adults. And so we're not treating them with the most targeted therapies. And so that's what we're funding. Our research studies fund research to find targeted treatments for our kids. So we don't have 50, 60, 70-year-old drugs that are just damaging them and very toxic. There's about 90% of our kids that have chronic lifelong health effects after their treatments because those therapies are so antiquated.
Yeah. So last year, because of the help with Jersey Mike's giving 100% of all of those purchases to Braden Hope, you raised $186,000. And then today, if you give an extra $5, by the way, Delise, I know you know this, you get a gift card for a free sub the next time you go in. They're just an incredible partner.
They are unbelievable. Jersey Mike's has been so good to us. It started in about 2014 that we started working with them with one store, and it's grown now. We've got 15 stores that are partnering with us. So pretty much anywhere in the Kansas City area that you go to, including Topeka, Lawrence, and St. Joseph.
That's right.
All the stores are benefiting Braden's help, which is unbelievable.
Well, I misspoke then because I thought it was only five, but I'm glad to hear that it's 15. That's great.
It's so cool, isn't it? It's really done a great job. We did a little math this morning, and we have found out that since 2014, Jersey Mike's annual day of giving has raised about $557,000 for our kids.
Wow.
Unbelievable. One sub at a time, from people coming in and buying one sub, one bag of chips, and one drink at a time.
You said in the beginning, when he was first diagnosed, Braden was given, I believe you said, 30% chance of survival, and then it almost immediately came back. And you heard the words no known cure. And then, if I'm not mistaken, you said there was a 10% chance of survival. He survives. This kid's a fighter.
Yeah.
He did. And actually, in between, when we did get him into a remission from his relapse of his neuroblastoma, he actually developed a secondary leukemia. And they said, you know, no child's ever survived that that's had neuroblastoma. And Braden is still here. We were really lucky in that research trials were available at just the right time for him that we could try some very experimental kind of things. Another after effects from doing that, you with really highly experimental treatments, you don't know what the after effects are going to be. And so he's fighting a lot of after effects, but he's still here and he's 20 years old and
20.
He is a happy guy.
Yeah.
He's 20. What's he doing now?
So right now, Sabrina also has autism. So right now he is going some part-time to an 18 to 21 special needs program, which is really fun through our school district.
Well, I love it, Delise, and I follow you on social. You know that. We've become friends. You are just one of my mighty warrior mama friends. I love your story. We love Jersey Mike's for taking part. And if you ever thought, I'm going to pop in there and get a sub, today is the day to do it because all of that money stays right here. And I love that you mentioned Topeka and Lawrence.
And St. Joe.
And St. Joe as well. But if you're in Topeka and Lawrence, and God forbid you have a pediatric cancer diagnosis, you want those kids at KU and Children's Mercy where the groundbreaking research is happening, Delise.
Absolutely. It makes all the difference in the world. And the more we do for research to find those treatments to be able to give these children that are less toxic, that are going to allow them to live a lot longer, healthier life, the better we are going to be. So it's making a difference. And the research studies that we fund have really made an impact. And that's all because, I mean, people around here, Kansas City is special. People around here just jump in and make such a difference for our kids. And today it's easy. You go buy a dinner. And you don't have to cook and you don't have to do dishes. And 100% of it comes back to help our kids.
Well, Delise, you and Braden are just inspirations. And we thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. And you guys are amazing. Thank you for helping to raise awareness for our kids. We really appreciate you.
Okay.
Right, be well. Hug your kiddo and we'll talk soon.
I will do it. Thank you.
All right. This is Jersey Mike's Day of Giving. Go to any Jersey Mike's. She said 15. Including Topeka, Lawrence, and St. Joe, and all of the proceeds go to Braden's Hope if it's a local Jersey Mike store. This is their day of giving. They do it every single year. Stop by, pick up a sub, bag of chips, and a drink, and all of that money goes to research for childhood cancer here on Dana and Parks.
Okay. You know, I warned you earlier about leaving your stuff in your car because thieves, because it's nice out, are going to the parks thieving things from people that leave their wallet in their car. Now there's this from Olathe Police, and check social media. We're going to put photos of the photo everywhere. Police are now searching for a car that a man tried to lure children into at an Olathe park. The Olathe Police Department is asking for the public's help finding a car that a man tried to lure children into while they were playing on Monday, March 17th. So last Monday, sometime before 1:30 p.m., Police say some juveniles were playing at a park near South Cook Street. You have to look that up. I'm not familiar with Olathe. When a man asked them to get into his car. They provided an update today. They say the car is believed to be a silver Chevy Malibu with an unknown temporary license plate and damage to the rear driver's side bumper. Police say the car was also missing its hubcaps. Here's how we know that. There is a photo of the car.
Looking here at the vehicle, that is most certainly a Chevy Malibu. However, when I looked up the address on South Cook Street, that is the middle of a neighborhood with no park nearby.
A very nice neighborhood, by the way. Actually, Sam, that large, very skinny strip of land could technically be a park.
Okay.
But it's west of K7, south of College. It's a very nice neighborhood.
West of K7, south of College. The most important thing to note about this is the rear bumper legit has been in a wreck. The entire left side, that left back quarter panel of the car, is damaged to the point that the bumper is sort of hanging down, if that makes sense, on the back left passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
The
good old temporary tag.
Yeah, the man driving the car described as being in his 50s or 60s with short black hair, last seen wearing a red shirt and dark pants. And the kids got close enough to that car, or he got close enough to them.
There is a park just to the west of Cook Street called South Glen Park.
There you go. That they were able to see that he was wearing a red shirt and dark pants. But the key is going to be with that car because it is hella recognizable.
That is a really nice neighborhood.
Oh, my God, I would be furious.
Not a very nice car.
Cannot leave children unattended anymore for any reason like we used to. You just can't. You cannot.
Yeah, you say that, and I'm not going to disagree with you, but here's the way that the modern world has warped my thinking. And I live in a nice neighborhood, and the other day I'm driving home or I can't remember if I was driving home or driving to work. I was coming here or going home from here, and I saw a young girl, probably 9 or 10, riding alone down the sidewalk on her bicycle. And my first thought was not, oh, how fun for her. That reminds me of when I was 10, back in 1981.
Look at what I've done to you.
Back in 1981, when you just get to ride your bike and you come home and the lights come on. My first thought was, where is that girl's parents? That's my first thought.
And you live in a very nice neighborhood.
It doesn't matter. Allie Kemp was killed at 126th and State Line Road in Leawood.
I mean, it just doesn't matter. I grew up in a pretty nice neighborhood and had a couple of encounters with creepos and vans in the early 2000s.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I was riding my scooter one time, and I don't know if they were messing with me or being real, but started following me on my scooter, asking if they could have my scooter, if I wanted to play.
How old were they?
Oh, gosh. This was years ago.
And by that, you mean anybody in their 20s looked like they were in their 50s. Anybody in their 50s looked like they were dead.
Yeah, if I had to guess, they were probably late 30s, early 40s. And it might have just been two guys that were being dumb, but it scared me.
Every once in a while, there will be one case out of 1,000 where a man driving a van actually lost his puppy, like is actually
looking
for
dogs. No, I don't
believe
that's true.
No, there have been stories over the years, Scott, where there's like, where police will say, this turned out to be unfounded because a guy was legitimately looking for his dog. And then I think, what kind of moron in this day and age would go up to kids in a van or any other car going, hey, you want to help me find my dog? No!
I got some candy for you, if you will.
Even if you've never kidnapped anyone in your entire life, in that moment, you are now like John Wayne Gacy.
I don't believe that people who own white vans are legally allowed to own dogs.
Or lose them and then ask for help finding them.
That is correct.
Or have candy at any point out of the van.
To your point, Dan, it's a good one. What grown-ass adult would ever, ever ask a kid, have you seen my dog? I mean, that just reams and reeks of I am a child predator. And I'm here to take your child in my van, and you'll never see the kid again. Weirdo. Honeybee colonies in the United States are projected to decline up to 70% in 2025, according to entomologists at Washington State. University. The university said in a press release that in the past decade, honeybee colony losses have averaged between 40 to 50% annually. But this year, a combination of nutrition deficiencies, mite infestations, viral diseases, and possible pesticide exposure. I'm going to learn how to read today.
All right.
Trouble in there, man? Sound it out.
During the previous pollinating season, I think I'm reading too fast, led to higher losses. About 35% of the world's food depends on bees. 35% of the world's food depends on bees.
If the bees go, so go we.
That's exactly right.
I'm surprised that number is not higher.
Is there no way to
re-bee the bees?
Regenerate them?
Well, certainly stop killing them when they fly around your face when you're mowing the lawn.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, I have noticed, and I have a lot of bee-attracting plants in my yard. And over the years, I've noticed a decline. Or what I would think is a decline. News coming up with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.